Now, I want to turn in the Bible tonight to the end of Matthew and chapter 28. The end of Matthew, chapter 28. Just really to introduce a little theme I want to look at really over the next few weeks in the will of the Lord. And so I really want to just go into Matthew and the chapter 28. And we're going to go to the verse 9. Now, as Christ has risen from the dead, and it tells us here in verse 9, and as he went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held them by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. If this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. Amen. And amen. My text really there can be found in the verse 19, really a verse that reveals to us the great doctrine of the Trinity of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I did say in the opening prayer, the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, that this is eternal life, that they may know thee and the only true God whom thou hast sent. And that's what salvation does to everyone who's saved by the grace of God. We're brought into this new relationship. We come to know God. Now, I'm not saying we have never heard about God in our unsaved days, but because we did. We heard about Christ. We heard about him going to the cross. But we were in darkness. We were far away from God. And we were in ignorance concerning the things of God. But the day we get saved, we come to know God. We come to know him as our friend. We come to know him as our Savior. We come to know him as our shepherd. We have a personal relationship with God, and we come to know him as the God of this Bible. And I think here tonight, when we come to the subject, knowing God in the person of the Trinity. I wonder if somebody came to your door and said, do you believe in the Trinity? Would you say, yes, I do? And it says, well, I wonder, could you tell me a bit about it? Now, you're saved a long time. I've been saved for many years. Could you tell them anything about it? Could you open up the Bible and show them why we believe the Trinity, why it is true? We should be able to do these things. Give an answer, the Bible says, for the hope that's in the heart of every child of God. Now, the reason we want to look at this subject, because we're living in a day and age when this great doctrine and this great truth of the Trinity of God is being denied and is being mocked and is being rejected in the so-called religious world today. And I have to say tonight that the vast majority, indeed if not all, of the world's counterfeit religions, they deny the Trinity. They do not believe this great truth, this great doctrine that's found in the Bible of the Trinity of God. Think, for instance, of Islam, the Muslim religion. In the Quran, you can read these words in their so-called book, holy book. And here's what they say in the Quran. Indeed, they disbelieve who say God is a third of three in the Trinity. When there is no God but one God, if they desist not from what they say, truly a painful punishment will befall the disbelievers among them. Now that is pretty strong language. And in the Quran of the Islam, the Muslim book, they say that anyone who believes here in the Trinity, they are disbelievers, they are unbelievers. And not only do they say that in the Quran, they say if you keep on believing in this doctrine, you are in danger of punishment. In other words, you will go to hell. That's Islam religion. We're living the day and age when they say, let's get all the religions together. How could we ever join with Islam? When it's in the Quran that anyone who believes this is a disbeliever, and a painful punishment will befall the disbelievers among them. They will find themselves cast down into hell. And these words are terrible that come from the Quran. But that is what the Muslims believe about our faith. As I said today, they're trying to unite with Muslims, bring all the faiths together. But it cannot be done. Another group that deny the Trinity is the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, how often they knock on our doors? And if you listen to them, they deny this great biblical truth of the Trinity of God. Now, here's a couple of quotes from them. They said the plain truth is that this is another of Satan's attempt to keep God's fearing persons from learning the truth of Jehovah and his Son, Christ Jesus. No, there is no Trinity. Now, do you hear what this group says? They say this is an attempt, a doctrine, an attempt of the devil to keep us from knowing God. They say all of this nonsense about the Trinity, as they say it's all from the devil. Indeed, Charles Taylor Russell said the Christian God was the devil himself. Now, you can see this is being attacked, this great truth that we love. We're Trinitarians as we learn more about this, and we do believe in the Trinity of God. But you can see, just using the Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses, they detest the great truth about the Trinity of God. They blaspheme this great truth of the Trinity of God. They say, as I said here, Islam said, we will be going to hell because we believe this. And Russell himself said here that the Christian God was the devil himself. That's their view. And there's another man over from the Vineyard movement in England, Paul Cain, and he said Trinitarianism is of the devil. Now that is strong words about the truth that we believe in the Bible of the Trinity of God. And many false cults utterly, utterly reject this great truth. As I have said, they said it is of the devil. It is of the devil. Now, if we meet such persons, they're very quick to turn us to the Word of God in order to prove their view. Now, because these, you can always find a verse in the Bible to back up your view, even though your view is wrong. And you'll find the false cults do that. And they will sift through the Bible to try to disprove this great truth of the Bible, the Trinity of God, and they will go to the Bible. And one of the places to go to is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the verse 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And they will turn to this and they will bring it before you. And maybe you've had to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses or some of these other boys on the door. And they said, well, could you explain this verse to me? And they go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the verse 4. And it says this, maybe this is Moses. His closing address here to children of Israel, he's reminding them about the God of their salvation, the God that delivered them from bondage, brought them out of Egypt. He says here in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so Moses in his closing speech reminds these people as they go to the promised land, remember this, the Lord your God is one Lord. Well, their enemies would say that's crystal clear. Can you not read the Bible? Can you not see what Moses is saying? Can you not understand what he says here about Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah of heaven? Can you not see what he says, the Lord our God is one Lord? Can you not see it? Of course we can see it. We're not denying that fact. And we'll come back to this text in a moment. But that's the type of verse I'll bring before you. One God. One Lord. One Jehovah. Another verse I'll turn to, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. But unto us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things. And they will take us to these scriptures and they'll say, well, it tells us in the Bible there's one Father, there's one God, and there's one Lord. And they seem to destroy everything we believe in the Bible about the Trinity of God. And seemingly, they try to do that with us. But you can, as I said to you, you can take any doctrine in the Bible, take it to the scriptures, and you'll find a verse that seems to demolish it. Now you think of the great text in the Bible that reminds us how we're saved. You think of Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it tells us here how we're saved, that we're saved by faith. Being justified by faith. That's a tremendous doctrine. That is one that Luther and the Reformers brought to the people again. They proclaimed it. They brought the people out of darkness of Romanism. They stood and proclaimed boldly, it's Christ and Christ who saves you. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be washed in his blood. It's Jesus saves, and you're saved by faith, not by works. And that's the great truth of this church. It's a great truth of Protestantism. Justification by faith. But you know, if you go to the Bible and you think of that verse, and maybe you've come to the times and you said, well, how can this be? Because James chapter 2 verse 24, and when you're talking to these people about being saved, some people, they will even throw this up to you and you say, well, we're justified by faith, but especially Roman Catholics who will have a little knowledge of the Bible. And they will say in James 2 verse 24, James says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And they would say, well, sir, it says in the Bible that they're justified by works. And then over there we find in Romans 5 it says they're justified by faith. How can it be? They seem to contradict each other. And what I'm saying to you, you can always find a verse that would seem to contradict the truth. Now what has really happened there? Paul's great theme is simple. No man can produce justification by doing good works. In other words, you cannot be saved by your works. James' theme, because it is a theme in the book of James, the epistle of James, how to behave in this world, how to live for God in this world. James' theme is that no man can prove his justification without the performance of good works. And that is what James is saying. And James is saying to people, you say you have faith, you said you believe in Jesus Christ, you say you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you say you're a child of God, then show me your works. Prove it. That's what he is saying. And anybody says, oh, I'm saved and living like a devil, the reality is they're not saved at all. They're not saved at all. And so when one comes to the scripture, they fail. So these other one people fail to see the context in which the words were written. And it's the same in the enemies of the Trinitarian belief position. They come raging against us. They fail to see the scriptures as a whole. What God is saying throughout all the Bible, not just in the text, but what does God say about this throughout all the Word of God? They fail to see this, and they can launch onto a verse like Deuteronomy and claim to say, well, that destroys the doctrine of the Trinity. But let me say before we move on, we do believe there is one God and only one, and we're very dogmatic in that. I'm telling you, we believe that there's only one Saviour, and that is Jesus Christ. We believe that with all of our heart, you see. In fact, as Christians, we strongly stand against the false gods and images and everything riches that's going around us today. We stand for Jesus Christ, and we contend for the faith, and we're opposed to any form of idolatry. We do believe that there is one God, the Lord God of heaven, and only one. We do believe that. But we still believe in the Trinity. We still believe in the Trinity of God. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, that is true. That is true. We must remember that the word for one means one in unity and not one in isolation. Now you find that over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, because it talks there about marriage, and it talks about Adam and Eve coming into communion one with another. And it says there in Genesis 2 and verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And here's what it says in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. I notice here what the word of God is saying. Adam and Eve are coming into union. They're coming together as man and wife. And the Bible says here that they are one flesh. That's the same Hebrew word for one God. Now we know Adam and Eve are two persons. We know that they don't become one person, of course, but they're one in unity. And it is the same with the God of heaven. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and yet they are one. And yet they are one. One in unity. As we will see this in the Bible. Now, can I say something else about this theme? Or say, some say that we believe in the Trinity, that we're worshipping three gods. But of course, such allegations are not true. Some people would tell us, well, you must worship three gods. And that is not true, of course. We do believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God. We're not worshipping three gods. And a Jehovah's Witness will attack you in that particular way. And I can always turn the tables on them. A Jehovah's Witness will come to about Christ being God in this study. And I would say to him, well, it calls Christ in Isaiah, the mighty God. They said, well, it doesn't say almighty. Well, I said, then you've got two gods. You've got an almighty God and a mighty God. Well, I have only one God. I have only one God, the Lord God of heaven. Now, I want to say this, the Trinity is a great mystery. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, it talks about the mystery of God. I notice those words, the mystery of God. And I have to confess tonight that the Trinity is a great mystery. It is a great mystery that we're dealing with, something that is mysterious to all of us, to everyone, every one of God's people. So far asked the question over in Job 11 and verse 7, canst I by searching find out God? Canst I find out the mighty unto perfection? That was a very simple question. Can you do it? Can you find out God? Can you find out the mighty unto perfection? What is the answer to this question? This man is asking this question to Job and to his friends. Can you search out God? Can you find God? What's the answer? No. The answer is no, we can't. I cannot explain everything about God, or neither can you. How can we, who are only worms and dust of the earth, fully know and fully explain who God is? There is a God revealed in the Bible. The doctrine of the Trinity is a great mystery. And listen to what some of the great men of God have said in this subject. There's a man called John R. Smith. He says, a mystery which my faith embraces as revealed in the Word, but my reason cannot fathom. He says, I embrace it when it comes to the Word of God, but I really just can't understand it. Alan Kearns, Dr. Alan Kearns of our church said, it has been said that if you try to comprehend the doctrine of eternity, you may lose your mind, but if you deny it, you will lose your soul. And not in sobering words. You may lose your mind, but if you don't believe it, you'll lose your soul. And all these false cults who says that we're, as I said earlier on in our message, it's a doctrine of the devil. The Christian God is the devil himself. All of these people, they'll lose their soul. They will find themselves in everlasting punishment, and they will find themselves cast out from God's presence because they don't believe in the true God of the Bible. They don't believe in the true God of salvation. And this is a testimony here of these men of God that I quoted to you, who have studied and who have looked at this subject of the Trinity. We as a people, we're not asked to fully explain it, but to believe it. Now, we will be looking at different things about it that will reveal it to us, no doubt about it, but we're asked to believe the Bible. The Bible is our touchstone of faith. It's in the Bible. And that's the question to ask anybody who denies it from the day. Is this in the Bible? Is it taught in the Bible? Is it the revelation of God in the Bible? Does God tell us this truth in the Bible? These are questions. These are simple questions to ask. We find the answer. Yes, God does teach us in His Word. And God does reveal it to us. There are many things I cannot explain, but I believe it. I don't know how this electricity works. Maybe some people here know, can explain it all fully to me, how it all works. I have no notion how it works, but I believe it. And there are many people tonight, maybe has a TV and there's computers. Do you know how they work? I can't fully explain it. I don't know how they work, but they work. I just know they work. There are many things in life we can't explain, but they work. They're true. It is the same, of course, with the Trinity, this great truth that's found in God's Word of the Bible. Many deny the Trinity because they do not understand it. But I want to say this. This should not be the case. It should not be the case. The Trinity of God. This one that looked just very brief at the first point, and we'll continue this next week in the will of God. This term, Trinity. And let me say from the very outset of our study that the word Trinity means, what does it mean? Somebody came knock your door and said, well, you believe in the Trinity, I do. What does it mean? What does this word mean? Would you be able to answer them? Well, it means three in one, a one in three. And it's derived from a Latin adjective, Trinus. And that's the meaning of the word Trinity. So if somebody ever comes to you and says, what does this Trinity mean? You could be able to say, well, it means three in one or one in three. That's what it means. This is the term Trinity. And let me say to all here, this word Trinity, it's not found in the Bible. The word Trinity is not found. And I want to say that to you because you're going to meet somebody maybe someday and they'll say to you, well, show me the word Trinity in the Bible. And you've been scratching your head and you've been maybe getting onto the computer to do one of them Bible programs and you've been getting Strong's Concordance out or Cruden's out or Young's, depends if you're strong or crude or whatever, or if you're young, and you've been looking for this word Trinity in the Bible. You will not find this word Trinity in the Bible. You will not find it. And our enemies may jump about and dance about the doorstep and say, well, I told you that Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity may not be in the Bible. The word Trinity. But the Trinity, the Godhead, can be proven from the Bible. It can be proven. And this word Trinity is only a technical term to describe to us this great doctrine. Where did it all come from? Where did this great word come from that summed up God? And we believe we're Trinitarian. We believe in the Trinitarian Bible Society. They do a marvellous work for God in proclaiming the Word of God and the truths of the Gospel and standing for this great truth here about the Trinity that's revealed in the Bible. Well, it came in the Arian debate in the 4th century in the Council of Nice in 325. There's a great battle going on for the truth. And there's always been battles going on for the truth of God. And there always will be battles. And there will be people who rise up and they'll say they do not believe in the Trinity. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. But these men of God came together and they formed this great doctrine, this great truth, and they put it into the creed in 325 AD to show that there are three persons in the Godhead. And that's where it came from, this word Trinity. That's how it was formed, by men of God away in 325. Again, the word person is described in this truth. As I said, Calvin himself didn't like to use that word persons, but despite the imperfections of the word persons, there's no better word in man's vocabulary to describe the truth. Now, we're not saying with this word Trinity that we believe there are three gods. But we are saying this. We do believe there are three persons, yet one within the Godhead. I think the Westminster Confession of Faith answers the question very, very simply. I've just learned to our boys and girls, which is tremendous. That our children in a Sunday school, in the Bible class, whatever the case may be, are learning these truths from an early age. So they will be confronted with error. They will be confronted with false teachers in the days that lie ahead. They need to be taught the truth. They need to know the truth of the Word of the living God. They need to know how to answer these people. Well, they learn it in the Westminster Confession of Faith. That's the basis of the teaching and the standard of our church. And it says in Westminster Confession of Faith, number 6, how many persons are there in the Godhead? And here's the answer. I'm sure maybe some people can answer it here who learnt that. I was in the Church of Ireland. I couldn't tell. I never learned very much when I went to that church when I was growing up. I went to a Sunday school brother. It says there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Another short, simple, listen, biblical answer. That's the truths we need to get into the hearts of our children. There are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. And I believe that our confession of faith sets us out very, very clearly what the Trinity means. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And that's only the term Trinity that we'll look at here tonight. Is it biblical? Now here's a question. Is it true? Is it true? There's great truth. Three persons in the Godhead, yet one God. Yes. And I said, people deny it. People blaspheme this great truth. But our whole faith is based upon this great God of the Bible. This great God of the Bible that we were singing about. The God of wonders. The God who has pardoned us. The God who has saved us. The God who has washed away all of our sins. The God that one day will take all of His people and will be with Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and forever in the courts of heaven. We do believe in the Trinity of the Bible, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just look at that text of Christ talking about go and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's just one text. We'll go and look, if the Lord spurs us all to next week, at the text proving the Trinity tonight, which is the theme of the Trinity. Is it found in the Bible? Is it taught in the Old Testament? We will find it is. We need to know God in this day and age. We need to know what we believe. We need to know as a church, as a people, why we believe it. Why we believe it. And it's always good. And I do in my Bible, of course. I mark these things in my Bible. Because we have bad memories. And my memory was one of the greatest times, and I mark wee things in my Bible, and I mark there's a verse of Trinity, and maybe link it up with another verse and so on. So if somebody ever came to me, I can just open up and I just take them through my Bible, because I have it all in the Bible. I have it marked down to show the great truths, to stand for the faith and to contend against the false teachers that would knock our doors and proclaim doctrines of devils, that we are a people, and we will show them we are a people that believe in the Trinity, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this in closing. We do know, of course, this belief in this doctrine does not save us. It doesn't. The people tonight believe in the Trinity, but they're not saved. They're not saved. It's good that people believe in it, of course. But you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm glad that's what I believe, and I'm glad for all of us here tonight. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Christ saves. He gives eternal life to those who believe in Him. We pray the Lord will bless our little study on this little point. This point is in the Bible. This truth is in the Word about the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.